Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil, text number 15. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya Vasudeva parayana Agam dunvanti kachnena Niharam eva bhaskara Kechit kevalaya bhaktya Vasudeva parayana Agam dunvanti kachnena Niharam eva bhaskara Kechit kevalaya bhaktya Vasudeva parayana Agam dunvanti kachnena Niharam eva bhaskara people. Kevalaya bhaktya. By executing unalloyed devotional service. Vasudev. To Lord Krishna, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parayanaha. Completely attached. Only to such service. Without dependence on austerity, penance, cultivation of knowledge, for pious activities. Agam, all kinds of sinful reactions. Dunvanti, destroy. Karchena, completely, with no possibility that sinful desires will revive. Niharam, fog. Eva, like. Bhaskaraha, the sun. Translation. Only a rare person who has adopted complete, unaligned devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. It's a very long purport of 4 pages, so I'll read it in parts. In the previous verse, Sukadev Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who's cultivating knowledge but has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will reappear, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4. Sreya sitim bhaktim udasyate vibho klisyanti ye kevala bodha labdaye. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material world by distinguishing between sinful and pious activities who are not situated in devotional service are prone to material activities. They may fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, however, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without a separate endeavor. Bhakti parishana bhava vingiraktir anyatra cha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. That is a test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because the living entity, as an eternal servant of Krishna, has no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. This process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana, release one from the reactions of all activities. Since Maharaj Pariksit was a great devotee, the answers of his guru Sukadev Goswami concerning karma kanda and jnana kanda could not satisfy him. Therefore, Sukadev Goswami, knowing very well the heart of his disciples, explained the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The word kechit, which is used in this verse, means a few people, but not all. Not everyone can become Krishna conscious, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 7.3. Manushyanam sahasresu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschinmam vati tattvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Practically no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculated knowledge. According to the highest knowledge, the highest knowledge exists of understanding Krishna. Unintelligent men who do not understand Krishna are grossly puffed up, thinking that they are liberated or have themselves become Krishna or Narayan. This is ignorance. To indicate the purity of bhakti, devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami further explains that bhakti is klesagni subhada, which means if one takes to devotional service, all kinds of unnecessary labor and material distress cease entirely and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful that it is also said to be moksha laguta krit. In other words, it minimizes the importance of liberation. And still two more pages of purport, so I'll begin now to comment a little. Om Jnanati Manandasya Ginandana Salakaya Shakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Patrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is by mercy that a person receives devotional service. Somehow or other, by encountering a Vaishnava, devotional service is awakened within the heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Sadhya Kabunai, Shravana Risuda Chitta Karya Udai. This devotional service is dormant within the heart. It is the original propensity of the living being, the spirit soul, eternally engaged in service of Krishna. But anadi bahyamukha, since time immemorial, we have been in the material world, and as a result, we have become covered. Naham prakasa sarvasa yoga maya samavritaha. And as a result, due to having been covered by material desires, Krishna has no longer been visible to the conditioned souls. And therefore, the conditioned souls in various ways are involved with the material energy. So there are the eight material energies in this material world, which are Krishna's separated energies: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then there is a superior energy, which is the living being. And the living being preoccupies himself in trying to exploit that material energy, yayeram daryate jagat, and manipulates the universe for his personal enjoyment. And thus, we become entangled. And in interaction with that material energy, with the three modes of material nature, which bind us in the material energy. And andiyatandir upaniyamana tipisadantram urudamni bada. Then the blind lead the blind, and we become more and more bound in that way. But when a devotee, somehow or other, is kind upon us, he may offer us devotional service. We, being proud, very quickly think that we've understood. Oh yes, I've understood how this devotional service works. Yes, yes, I need not be told anything. It takes time. It takes time in practice in devotional service before we can finally cultivate some humility. It may take years, it may take lifetimes, but ultimately that is the point. The point where we bow down. Bow down to the Supreme Lord, Man Mana Bhavamat Bhakto, where we bow down to the Vaishnavas, Mat Bhakta Puja Bhyadika. In that way, then we can become really situated in devotional service. Although devotional service is unlimitedly potent, and as is described here, devotional service can destroy the roots of sinful desire. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find the reference to yajna danas tapascaiva pavaninam manissinaha, where it is said that we may perform in sacrifice, we may perform in giving austerity, we may give in charity, and all these things can purify the living being from karma. All these means, yajna, danas, and tapas, are three means by which karma can be diminished. But what cannot be done is, through these processes, is to remove the sinful desires from the heart. That only can be done by devotional service. And of course, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, devotional service is defined as consisting of 64 angas, or 64 limbs. And of these limbs, these 64 aspects of devotional service, 5 are identified as the foremost. Because it is said that when these 5 are performed only a little, then one can very quickly develop love of God. Maturavas, Bhagavat Sravan, or residing in Mathura, in Vrindavan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Sadhu Sangha, associating with the Vaishnavas, and Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and worshipping the deity with great faith. All these things can very quickly awaken our love of God. And then the chanting of Hare Krishna is the topmost of even these 5 activities and the most potent. At the same time, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned, Bhavana Janmana Kariyari Shravana Kirtanam Tautanapaya Krishna Premadanan. It is said that one may chant the name of the Lord for many, many births. And still, one may not attain the desired success of this chanting. That is, if offenses are committed. There is a story which we find in the biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we find a description how Srila Bhakti Vinod and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were traveling. And as they traveled, they came late at night to a village. And they came to the edge of the village and there was a temple. So it was apparently an abandoned temple, no worship going on, but they decided to stay there for the night. So early in the morning, they arrived in the village, and the people from the village said, "Oh, how have you arrived so early in the morning? Have you been traveling the entire night? Have you been walking in the night?" He said, no, we stayed here in the village." He said, "Stayed in the village? Where did you stay?" He said, "Oh, on the edge of the village, in that temple, that abandoned temple." He said, "No, you stayed there." He said, no one can stay there in that temple. It is haunted. A haunted temple by a terrible Brahma Rakshasa, a terrible ghost. It must be the ghost of the pujari who used to worship in that temple." Said that pujari was a sinful man. He would not follow any regulative principle, and nonetheless, he was there engaged in worship. Said, yes, we stayed there. That ghost, yes, it was no problem to us. We chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and then he left. Said, "No, but how is this possible? This pujari was chanting the holy name throughout his entire life. He was just chanting the name of Krishna. Always. So how could he be driven out by the holy name?" And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained. He said that when a person is committing serious offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name, that then the Supreme Personality of Godhead is withdrawing from the name. And all that remains is an empty shell of words, but the Lord is no longer manifesting in that name. And thus that person may chant and chant and chant, and yet no benefit. Of course, the example is an extreme personality. When we discuss the topic of committing offenses, some devotees, they may be careless about offenses and not, take it so serious and say, this is a mercy movement. And others, when it comes to offenses, they go the opposite direction and say, "Oh yes, I'm so offensive. I mean, I'm committing so many offenses and therefore this process will never work." The truth, as often is the case, is in the middle. That katanchana smite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet. There is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya accompanying the process of chanting the holy name. It is through that mercy that the holy name is very easily accessible, and that offenses are now overlooked, and that therefore result is quickly attained in the chanting. So even although we are not great in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we try to avoid offenses. Even although inadvertently, sometimes it may happen. Sometimes we may say something about a Vaishnava and we think, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe it was a bit too critical. And we repent. That is not good, but it is not the same as criticizing a Vaishnava in an envious mood, as systematically just breaking him down and diminishing him and attacking him. That is another matter. A systematic attack is very dangerous. But an accidental slip of the tongue, of maybe being a little too sharp, being too critical, is not, we are not held accountable to the same degree. An outright attack on a Vaishnava may lead to fall down, or may lead to a lower birth, or so many reactions. Inattentive dealings with Vaishnavas, where we criticize, may lead to diminishing our taste in devotional service. It may not entirely destroy our devotional creeper, but it may have some reaction. It may diminish the taste that is awakening in our heart. So therefore, we must be very careful. Very careful to glorify. Glorify the Vaishnavas. Because it is through the Vaishnavas that devotional service comes to us. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing about the Kalyana Kalpataru, the most auspicious desire tree. And he is saying that, he said, somehow or other, I have received this Kalyan Kalpataru, this most auspicious desire tree of devotional service from my spiritual master. But unfortunately, due to my harsh mind, I have not properly taken care of this tree. And it has become a little bit depleted, a little bit dried up. But now I've come to my senses. And now I turn to the Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnavas are the caretakers of this desire tree. And therefore, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, my desire tree of devotional service may be restored in its original glory. So this description of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is something all of us are going through in the process of devotional service. Otherwise, why are we not? Why are we not overwhelmed by love of God? If we are not overwhelmed by love of God, if our hairs are not standing on end in reciting the holy name, as tears are not gliding down our eyes, tears of love, then we must know the heart is still framed due to offenses. So we make mistakes like this. So this is the one thing that can slow down the process. But by turning to the Vaishnavas in humility and by worshipping the Vaishnavas, that tree of devotional service will be restored in its original glory. So that is our saving grace, to somehow or other glorify the Vaishnavas. I guess now I'll read a little more of the purport. So, we discussed in the purport also that the verse of Rupa Goswami, Anya Bilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. We must give up all other activities, not interested in in the path of knowledge, but interested in the path of bhakti. So what does this mean, not interested in the path of knowledge? Knowledge isn't Srimad Bhagavatam. Knowledge and isn't Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Sravan, emphasized as one of the five principal activities? Then why are we saying not knowledge? Knowledge is there. The knowledge of bhakti. The knowledge of how to perform pure devotional service. But not the jnana mark, the process of looking at the material energy through philosophical eyes and seeing what is behind. Whatever we see that here are the three modes of material nature at work. Here, this combination of matter that has come about is simply a combination of temporary building stones of the material energy, and now it has taken this attractive form of Maya. In this way, through a process of knowledge, the jnani is constantly making his experience of the material world relative. Although emotionally he feels attracted. Oh, that form is overwhelming. No, it's simply made of matter. And in this way, through philosophy, the jnani has to conquer his material desire. The devotee is simply busy in devotional service and making sure that he's fully engaged in devotional service. There is that explanation that Srila Prabhupada gives of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And where he says that this chanting is not an artificial imposition of the mind. And then he says, this chanting takes us from the sensual level to the mental level, beyond the intellectual level to the transcendental level. So all these spheres are there. The sensual sphere, the mental sphere, the intellectual sphere. And our energy is divided over all these things. Some energy in the senses. Some energy in the mind. Mind. Some energy in the intellect. And because our energy is divided, therefore, in our devotional service, all these three have to be engaged. The senses, the mind, the intellect, in devotional service. The 64 aspects of devotional service outlined in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu can be divided into various categories, and one can see that in these 64 aspects, all the senses and the mind are engaged in the service of Krishna. There are different injunctions to engage the eyes, different injunctions to engage the nose, different injunctions to engage the hands. In this way, all the senses engaged in the service of Krishna. That is basically the process of sadhana bhakti. So in sadhana bhakti, what we do is we take our senses and engage them. They must be very much engaged. When the senses are not adequately engaged in devotional service, then we are at risk. If some of the senses remain idle, then that will harass us. Yesterday I was reading Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying, he said, whatever it is, if we don't engage it in the service of Krishna, it will become our enemy. I thought that was interesting. It will become our enemy if we don't engage it in the service of Krishna. So if we take our senses and we don't engage them in the service of Krishna, they will become our enemy. If we don't engage the mind in the service of Krishna, the mind will become our enemy. If the intellect is not engaged in the service of Krishna, it will become our enemy. Like this, we can see. So all these must be engaged in the service of Krishna. Thinking about making plans for Krishna. Making arrangements for Krishna with our senses. So in this way, very much preoccupied in devotional service. Then anyabilasita sunyam. Then there is no room for other desires. And then, where we are trying all that, when we fall short, then we have the second level. It's like the path of devotional service is the tightrope high in this in the tent of the circus. We are walking on there carefully, keeping our balance, right? Careful not to fall down. Carefully holding our balance with good sadhana and regulative principles. But if somehow or other, we have difficulty to always be transcendental and just attracted to Krishna, then there is the second level, the safety net of jnana. Then we turn to jnana. So Vaishnavas also use it. When we fail to be attached to Krishna and ecstatic in bhakti, but when we feel that bhakti has become a burden, when we feel that bhakti is a struggle, then what we have left is knowledge. Knowledge to analyze that it's not worth it to engage with the temporary material nature. It will not bring us lasting enjoyment. It is said in scripture, Etavat Janmasava Yam Dehinam Yadehi Su Shreyamacharanam Sada, that if we want to make life successful, we should only engage in activities which produce long-term benefit. So in this way, we are progressing. Absorbed in devotional service and sometimes falling back on knowledge, on that process, yes, for our security. But gradually we must increase our involvement in service, and that service is meant to become our life and soul. The essence in the ninefold process of devotional service is sravanam and kirtanam, is hearing and chanting. All service must be preceded by chanting and followed by chanting, Jiva Goswami says. And chanting goes together with hearing, because Srila Prabhupada said, attentive chanting means to hear oneself chanting. That's chanting. So chanting goes hand in hand with hearing. Sravanam Kirtanam. So that's our foundation. But we are not sufficiently purified to constantly hear and chant. And therefore we depend on practical service, on engaging our senses, on engaging our minds, on engaging our intellects in devotional service. In that way, pranirakta diyavacha, by giving our energy, giving our possessions, our intelligence, our words in the service of Krishna. In that way, we can be successful. I don't know how to finish this purport within 9 o'clock. You know, it's too long. I can't. So, I guess I won't finish it, because otherwise I'll go over time, which I don't want to do. So, any questions or comments?
So, saying a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush.
A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. We're experiencing the pleasure now, and how can we be sure that later on we're really going to get all these exalted pleasures? right?
This all temporary,
but meanwhile, it's good. That part I edit. Meanwhile, it's good. Yes, that is true. This is the leap of faith. This is actually the leap of faith that a Vaishnava has to make. I'll give a little example. There's a man who was living in an old house, and the roof was not that good. And in the rainy season, he didn't have enough pots and pans and anymore to catch all the water. So it was getting a major problem. So one day, when finally the weather was good, he went on the roof, but the roof was sloping. He was on the roof and he was trying to fix the roof. Then he slipped. And last minute, he managed to grab the edge of the roof and he was hanging there. I was thinking, saved. But due to lack of exercise and too much prasadam, he was not able to climb back onto that roof. So he realized, I'm not saved. And he was hanging there, help, oh help, oh God, please help me. Need any help? Who are you? I am God. Oh God, please help me. All right, I will help you. Oh yes. Just let go of the roof and I will catch you. Can't you catch me first? And then I'll let go of the roof? So this is the Kanista Adhikari. The Kanista Adhikari has weak faith. He's hanging on the edge of the roof and he's thinking, I will not give up my material securities, all the good things I have now, until I get the higher taste. Yes? And the higher taste doesn't come. And he stays. He has weak faith. The Madhyama Adhikari, he's ready on the strength of the words of the Lord to let go of the edge of the roof and say, all right, my Lord, you catch me. If you say I must let go of this, I'll let go. So that's the difference between Kanista and Madhyam. Kanista has Kamala Shraddha, weak in faith. He's a Prakrita Bhakta. He's a materialistic devotee who holds on to his material securities. Although he's not happy, but yet he does. It's not that he's satisfied, but at least it's better than nothing. And how can I give it up, you know, when I'm not sure what I'll get? But we must have faith in the words of the Lord. Therefore, for such a Kanista Adhikari, what is recommended is to hear regularly in the association of advanced Vaishnavas. By such hearing, the faith will develop. And when the faith becomes stronger, then one day he'll also do it. It's just like we're all jumping. We're on the edge of the swimming pool and the water is cold and everyone's jumping and there's just one who stands still on the edge. And it's like, it's cold, I'm not going in. But everybody else keeps on jumping. So if everyone jumps, maybe one day even that hesitant person will also jump. So everybody jumped, maybe I... Anyway, okay, I'll do it. So that's the only solution for the Kanista. So do some service, keep on doing service, and keep on hearing from the advanced Vaishnavas, hearing transcendental knowledge of Bhagavatam, then one day, the Kanista will come to the point where he'll say, maybe I can do it after all. Okay. I'm going to put my faith in Krishna. But that's a conscious choice. It's not that one day for the Kanista, suddenly there will be no more material desires and I'm waiting for that day. No. We have to let go with a conscious choice one day and say, I'm going to let go. Yeah? I'm going to let go of the edge of the roof. and wait for the Lord to catch me. Eh?
Let
that bird go, you know, better. What was it? One bird in the hand and two in the bush? Or? let the birds go. Let the material attachment, let them go. Let them go. And if you don't let them go, time will take them away anyway. That's the thing. You can hold on to them, and time will take him away. So, may as well let it go while you still can. Yeah. Yes, sir. There is a microphone. Maybe we can pass it on. A little quick with the mic. Yep. Thank you.
Hi, Krishna. A lot of times when I hear some other devotees chanting, when they're chanting very quickly, sometimes the at the end of Rama kind of just falls out.
Ram.
And I also notice myself, if I'm not careful, I also am doing that. I'm just curious as to how necessary it is or not to include that.
It's necessary to try. It's necessary to try. Srila Prabhupada told Pushta Krishna that he should chant Rama, right? That he should chant that A. Yes. So there is a reference to that. Then there's another issue though, which also came up, which was interesting. A devotee had been listening to Srila Prabhupada's japa tape, and he noticed that Srila Prabhupada sometimes, apparently, didn't completely finish. It's like, you know, missed some syllable or something like that. So it's like, you know, now what about that? You know what I'm saying? So, I saw it bouncing around the internet, and then I saw a response from a sannyasi who said that Srila Prabhupada is chanting in the heart, right? And even if you don't externally hear the full mantra, in the heart, he's definitely chanting the full mantra, right? It's fully there. Now, let us try in our hearts to dedicate ourselves to pronounce the mantra as good as possible. Then whatever comes out of the mouth, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. But with whatever is in our might, let us dedicate ourselves to try and chant nice. Then what comes out is probably still not nice, but what to do? What to do? Devakinanda. Yes, can we have... Is it required for going back to Godhead to come to a stage of chanting where the hairs stand on end and where tears are flowing from one's eyes? Obviously, I was speaking about the topmost levels of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Prem. So to simplify the question then, is Krishna Prem required for going back to Godhead? This topic comes up again and again, and we can see that there are different factors involved and also different statements. We know that in the case of Jayananda, who left his body, when the news reached Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said, if he had any material desire, then he may have attained the heavenly planets and he may reside there for a long time before and enjoy before he continues his devotional service. If he, however, had no material desires, then he may have gone to a universe where Krishna is currently performing his pastimes, and in that universe he may become purified from the last traces of material contamination and then return to the spiritual world. That's the first letter. Then there was a second letter. And that letter was that Srila Prabhupada had been informed that there was kirtan at the time of the departure of Jayananda. And then Srila Prabhupada writes in the second letter that Now that since Jayananda heard the chanting of the holy name at the time of leaving this planet, he surely will have gone back to Godhead. Now, these letters, they shed some light on the whole situation and they show that there are different elements at work. That idea that one can go to the heavenly planets, Prabhupada from time to time said that some devotees may attain the heavenly planets. The point of taking birth in a universe where Krishna performs his pastimes is based on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we see that Krishna in the Ras Lila at Bamsivat calling the gopis, and some could not leave home. They were obstructed. Those were gopis that still had some anarthas in the heart. They were checked by the family members and purified, and then in that way, and then gave up their bodies and then became eligible. Then there is the case of kirtan, particularly the Yuga Dharma, particularly kirtan in the context of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. That means the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra combined with the mercy of Mahaprabhu, as I outlined in the lecture. So these two elements are there, and when these elements come into play, then miracles start to happen. Then it becomes possible even for those who don't have Krishna prema to become elevated to a point where they get eligible to go back to Godhead, and somewhere on the way Krishna prema is given to them as well. In the spiritual world, definitely everyone has it. So whether it's given to us at the gate, but by kripa siddha, by mercy, one can also attain perfection. Then there are several references of Srila Prabhupada, and I'll give only one of them, but there are more. There is a reference where Prabhupada in a lecture is speaking about the benedictions that were given by Lord Brahma to Hiranyakasipu, not in the day, not in the night, not inside, outside, and all those kind of benedictions. And then Lord Nrisingadev upheld those benedictions. And Prabhupada said, yes, because Risi Uchu, the saintly personality, spoke, and the Lord upholds the words of the saintly personality. So when the saintly personality says that if you chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles, you will go back to Godhead, then you must go. So that's one lecture, Srila Prabhupada. So we can understand that then we're no longer talking about tears and hairs on end. We're just talking about faithfully chanting 16 rounds. If we make it that only if you get to that stage, only Krishna prema, then contemplate for a moment. Here is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most magnanimous incarnation. He is widely distributing this process of bhakti, but in the end, ha 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 ha, practically no one gets love of God. So no one goes back. You see the point. So when Srila Prabhupada was here, the mood was very optimistic. Everyone was thinking, we're going back to Godhead. He instilled that faith. If we just follow, we'll go back to Godhead. Later, due to outside influence, here in Vrindavan actually, this idea came that, is your guru a Paramaprasthapriya Sakhi? Is he a Paramaprasthapriya Sakhi? If he is not, then how can he give you Krishna Prem? And if you don't get Krishna Prem, how will you go back to Godhead? Therefore, be realistic. So now we are between these two. On the one hand, the mercy of Mahaprabhu. On the other hand, that Krishna Prem is not cheap. So we endeavor to the maximum to come to the pure platform. Then, praying for that mercy and knowing that at the end of the day, there's Prabhupada who prayed for us. Knowing all that, asabandha, hope against hope, that still will go back to Godhead, although not qualified. But if he gets slack, then forget it. We must do our level best.
This chapter says that Ajamil was a very simple person. Yet he only chanted the name of the Lord for his son, Narayana, Narayana. And the name Narayana is so potent that Vishnudutas came immediately.
Yes, and then we read a little later in the purports, there are notes at the end of the chapters of the Ajamil narrative. And there we find that the topic is discussed. Was Ajamil chanting with offense or was he chanting purely? He was chanting purely in the sense that he was just calling his son. So therefore he was at least chanting in an innocent way, not committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. He's not committing namaparat. So his chanting was effective. Then what happened is, the Vishnudutas came, they stopped the Yamadutas, and Ajamil came back to life. Then Ajamil went to Haridwar, and in Haridwar he performed more devotional service. And after duly being purified by that devotional service, then he went back to God. So he didn't get it cheap, although he got so